Welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, Casey Lehman. We have the roundtable of heavyweights tonight. Tonight's guests are Rhea Williams, Jane of All Trades, Toria Williams, Chris Lehman, the editor at large of Black Is, John Bird III, editor in chief of Sickly Cat Magazine, Randy Foley, aka Dino Black.
All right, all right.
And Darius Gray, jack of all trades. And tonight's topic is saving it. Celibacy while dating. So I have very little to say personally about this experience, having been married now for 6 years. We talk about how we will raise our son. I was raised in a very religious household and taught to abstain from sex until marriage. And I think with the way we'll raise our son is to try to teach him, because sex is a natural thing, so we know it's going to happen. But to teach him to be choosy of who he sleeps with, because coming home with a pregnancy before marriage is something Chris and I know we're not going to co-sign on that. Definitely while he's a teenager and living in our house, absolutely not. And then he will be up against so much more than what it was I think we were dealing with. We were definitely a committed couple. We were monogamous early on, so that made our relationship easier. But I think people who are dating as they get older, it's a more complicated situation. You might not always be dealing with people who are practicing monogamy, and you may or may not be aware of that. So with that, anybody else want to comment on the topic?
I think it's also what you expect out of dating. If, you know, because there's dating where you're just going out, having a good time, and you don't expect anything. And then if you're dating and you expect something out of that, a relationship, then I think the answer could be two totally different things. If you're out there just dating to be dating, then I think you're probably more prone to being a little more open with your sex life. Okay. If you're dating with a purpose, then you're going to be a little more selective as to who you sleep with. Like, dinner doesn't necessarily guarantee you to getting taken down or to take me down when I'm looking for something serious. But if I'm out there just having a good time, then it's pretty open, I guess.
Why does that preclude the other? I mean, so why wouldn't you sleep with somebody on the first date that you're actually seriously interested in?
I didn't say I wouldn't. I said, but when if you're looking for something serious, then I think you need to know from the other person that they want something serious. You shouldn't just be screwing to be screwing, because I think what happens is you find yourself out there, you find a lot of women out there who are screwing under the impression that if I sleep with you, you're going to boo me up. You're going to make me the one. So I think that's what I'm saying. You have to be very clear on what dating is for you and what you want if you're choosing. And I wouldn't even say celibate, but being a little selective as to who you're getting down with. If I want something serious out the relationship, I might hold back just a little bit, just to, you know, figure that this person wants the same thing too. I'm not giving the goods in exchange for a relationship, but I want to know that a relationship is even on the table. And if it's not on the table, then we're not getting down. You know, at this point in my life, that's what I want. So ultimately, I pull back and say, nah, I'm not sleeping around with everybody that takes me on a date.
If it's good, he'll be back.
That I know.
Are we talking about the date or sex?
But back for what, though? But back for what?
He'll be open for compromise, depending on what level it is. I mean, I'm speaking from experience. It happened for the first time that we did engage in intimacy very quickly. But we had a 2-year relationship behind that. And it was like, it just ran and went on, and neither one of us was stopping it. It was like, at some point, we found ourselves staying together. So it's like, okay, this is all right. I'm cool with this. So it just depends on where you are as a person, you know, or like you said, what you're looking for, you know, or if you're on the same page, then everything is a green light. But if there's some worries or skepticism that maybe, you know, we're not looking for the same things, or maybe we're not on the same page as far as how to go about things, then you would reserve and be a little bit more cautious about the situation.
And women, we're a little bit different. I feel comfortable saying for women, sex is emotional. Men can wash sex off. There are very few times where I can just roll out the bed, go to the sink, wash up, and I'm good. you know, but I know for a fact that men can do that and not think twice, not, you know, necessarily consider her to be the one. With women, there is an emotional tie. And I think because we're the receivers in sex, you know,
right,
it's like
right.
You're plugging into us. I'm not just an out.
Right. Exactly.
I wanted to talk about this because I know I've been on both sides of the fence, and I've just noticed that with my guy friends and with my women friends, it's been really difficult for them. Like, I know I've seen women go through these phases where they're either in self-discovery or they came out of a real bad situation where they got burned, and then their, you know, recourse is, well, I'm just not going to have sex, and, you know, they may walk into a spiritual path. But I know that with the men that try to go this route, a lot of times they're judged or people think they're gay, or there always has to be something different. So I just always like to hear the perspectives of people, because now, I mean, I definitely think it's a topic that is of the minority among middle-aged men and women. But I just think, I don't know, I have a personal, I don't know.
It is a double standard.
It is a serious double standard. But I think my question is always, you know, is it possible? And I think even the women that are very convicted in their belief and they're going hard, a lot of times they come across that one. And the next thing you know, all these years of build up and, you know, standing for your rights all of a sudden with that one person. And I just think that that's interesting, because if you really believe in something, you stand behind something, then any one person shouldn't just come over and, you know,
knock it out.
So I just think it's interesting why people make that choice and what the driving force behind that is.
This is Chris Lamont. I will say, and I guess speaking to, for those, I guess, listeners out there who have had sex, if it's important to you, if it's not like, if the person is not good at it, it's a deal breaker, then, you know, if it's not a big deal to you, then, you know, don't stress it. If it doesn't happen before you get married, it's not a big deal. For those who feel like if I have an inadequate partner, it's a, like, it will guarantee you, like, yeah, like, basically now we'll start thinking about maybe ending the relationship. I mean, no, I'm serious. Right. Then I would say you need to find out. For those people who have not done it, it is a drug. There are people who actually, there is a spirit of people who are sexual addicts. I mean, it is a drug, so please be careful and
use caution.
Right.
Here's my question for the men at the table.
Don't abuse it.
Here's my question for the men at the table. Do you have a different response to a woman if throughout the course of dating she says to you, you know, I'm practicing celibacy. I don't want to have sex with you right now. Like, let's build and see where this goes. Versus a woman who is a bit more liberal with her sex. Is there a different response or a different thought or feeling to those two different types
Hell
of women?
Yeah.
Okay, and they would be.
But see, I've been put in that situation, and I really like the girl. And she told me, I'm not doing nothing. But at the same, it's like you're putting in this investment and you got to wait 10 years down the road for it to mature versus.
Are we talking 10 years or like 6 weeks?
I'm doing the verses.
Okay.
It's because she's talking about marriage and all that thing. Oh. I mean, like, I'm all for that. I'm not going to knock you for the way you feel about a certain issue, but I want to know your reasons behind making this decision.
Okay.
If we can talk about it and come to some type of conclusion that we both can feel comfortable with, then fine. You know, we can go forward. But I told her that I was like, I don't know. You know, I'm just being honest. I was like, I don't know. And I was real upfront with her when we had this conversation. I was like, you know what? I really like you. I will try. It was very hard because I was attracted to her and her to me. And you would get into those situations where it's like, okay, do we even,
how far can we go?
Do you even touch each other? Yeah.
Do you even play with it?
Do you even hug? Or, you know, do you even touch a little bit? Or it's like, why even start something that you know is going to end up all bad? Right.
Okay, but this
is always okay.
This now brings up another question to me. Okay, for the men specifically. So if you decide you're going to date a woman who is celibate, does that then give you the right to sleep with other women?
Yeah, that's what I was about. Okay.
Wow.
This is Darius Gray, by the way.
Yeah, Mr. Gray.
My thing is this.
this is just my personal experience. Obviously, I didn't wait till I was married to have sex. I don't know that I could have. But I think with the women that I chose to have sex with and even have long-term relationships with, I think those relationships would have turned out differently, maybe a bit more positive, had we abstained from sex. But the truth of the matter is...
How so?
Because...
Sex clouded everything.
No. It's not that simple. It's that, you know, I've had several long-term relationships, and even after I knew the relationships were over, I stayed in them just because of the sex.
Oh, yes, we
didn't. And, you know, and then you get to the whole point, is that a disrespectful thing? And it is for both parties involved. But America is a strange place, you know, and when you give people liberties and sex is an empowering tool, and it's empowering for women, you know, and it's used against men in so many creepy kind of ways. But I don't know. I think that I definitely could not abstain from sex in a relationship. And my thing is, there is a double standard, you know, amongst women and men. And that's with everything. This is just one of those things where the chips fall on the side of the men. You know, a guy who has many women viewed as a player, you know, a socialite, a woman who has many men. But my problem is that I have two daughters now. And so the values that I'm trying to instill in them are sort of contradictory to my own experience. And, you know, but I never thought that those women that I was dealing with at a certain period in time were somebody's daughter. Mm-hmm. It's two. And so that's when it becomes, you know, a tough call. But I just think American society as a whole, I mean, we're just so loose and open with things. I have friends, you know, from the Middle East. I can't say from Europe, but primarily from the Middle East, who are Muslim and some Jewish. And their women have no problem, you know, outwardly abstaining from sex and relationships that are physical with men. They don't go on unchaperoned dates. If they go on dates with men, they go in groups, you know. And I just think that it's been acceptable for so long. I mean, sex amongst unmarried people in America has been acceptable for so long that it's not even an option. But me as a man, my thing has always been, if you're not going to give it to me, I'm going to get it from somewhere else. And that's just where it has been.
And I was going to say, because it's really twofold. Because I was raised, this was what I was raised understanding. Women make sex happen. Men make relationships happen. So sex won't happen unless the woman is down with it. But you won't have a relationship unless the man is truly committed to it. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of, it goes back and forth in some ways. You know, a woman will withhold sex because she wants the relationship to happen. If she feels like she's at the point where she's comfortable, or if she's, I don't want to say that, if she's at the point where she's comfortable and ready to have sex and the relationship still doesn't happen, it's like she's lost out entirely, because now what the man was seeking has been given away, and she still doesn't have what it is that she wants, which is the relationship. So it's a double standard. Like
are you talking about a sexual relationship strictly, or just
no, an actual committed relationship, like a commitment.
If a man just wants sex, that's not a committed relationship.
But you know, then the issue becomes the man not being, or either both parties not being honest about what is desired, what the desired outcome is. If she's saying I want a relationship and he's saying yeah, I want a relationship too, but all he wants is sex.
I've been then, tricked, bamboozled. Yeah.
Right.
He needs to,
and vice versa.
He needs to say, like, until the man basically says we're going to, in some way, you're my girlfriend, we're going to be exclusive, I'm only going to see and go out and date you, then I feel, and this is just for me, if both parties, if, you know, if the woman wants to sleep with somebody else besides me, I mean, why am I going to get offended? I'm like, she can be like, I'm not your girl. And, you know, I can't be like, oh, well, that's bullshit. I'm like, I'm a guy, I can use that same term. And you can't, I'm like, you know, if I'm not dating you exclusively, if we haven't made that boundary, then it's not okay. But if I tell you beforehand, like, sex is important, and then I decide to become exclusive, I would at some point hope we have an understanding that, look, this is going to be difficult. I'm going to give it my all, but I'm letting you know up front, I can't guarantee 100% that this is, I'm not going to sleep with somebody else.
And the thing is, that's something I think women have to learn, at least for me, the way I was raised. You find somebody you're interested in, you date that person, and you make a commitment to that person. It takes dating and really maturing to understand that when a man wants to be exclusive with you, he will say that. He will make that statement. It's not any sort of subterfuge or wrapped in any sort of camouflage. It's very clear. I want you to be mine, and that's it. Until he says that, you're not his, even if you feel like you're his, even if he does things that make you feel like it's just about you. It's not about you until he claims it. And so up until that point, you're a free agent. Speak on that, Bird.
I'm just saying.
Well, repeat that. Liars.
Right. But that's why when I'm sitting here
just
thinking.
I retract.
No. You're saying. Right. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
The times I've been celibate, it hasn't been connected to dating. It really has been like a personal choice. Like, I'm not having sex because I'm not in a place mentally, if you and I don't work out, where I'm not going to take it internally, personally. So when I wasn't having sex, it really wasn't about the dating. It wasn't me trying to trap or get with anybody. It was me. I'm not going to be good for you anyway, you know, because I'm not in a comfortable, peaceful place. It wasn't like an in exchange kind of thing. I'm holding myself out for a relationship. It was like, let me just slow my roll.
That's respectable.
Did you ever were you ever sexually active with someone and then decided to be celibate?
In the midst of it?
No, like.
That's a bad sign in itself.
Yeah, like no. I don't want to have sex anymore.
No.
No. That is a very bad sign.
No, like you've turned me off completely.
Forbid the brother or sister that got to go through that.
No. If anything, that the decision that came from was like, okay, if I had a bad breakup and it's a repeated kind of offender kind of thing, it's not the person I'm with, it's the person I chose. What am I doing? Why am I always finding myself in this same situation? Pull back. So I went out on dates, but it was just dating. You know, I didn't even like internalize and think about it twice, but the decision to be celibate wasn't connected to the whole dating thing. It was like, let me get Tori's
head. So what definition of celibate are we using here? Because you said the times you decided to be celibate. Like you went on a no-sex diet or something. What is this?
Yeah, and you know what? It wasn't even a conscious decision. I just found myself pulling myself back from being in relationships and so pressed to be on dates.
So we're not talking about virginity. We're talking about celibacy.
Right.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
Born again versions.
Right. It wasn't.
And how many times can one be born again?
As many times as I tell you. As many times as I tell you.
Ask a phoenix. I don't know.
Is that a deal breaker, though, if a woman says she's going to be celibate?
Like I said before, it depends. It depends on the reasoning behind it. Like you said, you're not in that place. If he's willing to wait and just be around, or, you know, without any quote-unquote obligations. Let's see, that's the catchy thing. You say, okay, let's be celibate. But then you want everything that encompasses the relationship.
Hallelujah.
It's like, hold on. You want everything you want, but you're not giving me anything that I want. Right. Well, what I want. You know what I mean?
What I want. Get to it.
So I'm being honest. So it's like you're going through all the motions and you know it's not going to bear fruit at all.
That's why I said celibacy for me wasn't connected to dating, because I wasn't dating anyone, and my celibacy wasn't connected to dating.
That's a good way to approach it.
It wasn't connected to dating. It was me, like, slow down. Slow your roll. What are you doing? What do you want? Stop finding yourself in the same trap. So it wasn't me saying, if you want to take me out, understand we're not having sex. I don't even think I brought the conversation up.
Why does a man have to be the one to take you out in this day? I mean, my thing is that... No.
What do you mean?
You call that shot, well, hey,
what do you mean
you take
out?
Me out.
As a whole,
because you were talking about dick and dinner, you know, earlier. You know,
wait.
And it's like, okay, hold on now.
Wait,
I'm still, the man is still the one that's making some sort of commitment.
It's
a financial commitment.
Yes, let's clarify. I have a friend, not myself, who said at this point in time, she's on dick and dinner. However, I'm not even shy in saying I am traditional in the sense that I do want the man to take me out. Now, I will call you if I like you and be like, hey, why don't we go here? But I'm very much You know, I'd be lying if I say, "Oh yeah, I got us." No, I want to see you take me out.
And that's the problem that I have. You know, that's the problem I have.
I need more clarity on that.
In regards to what term?
The dick and dinner. I mean, is it just who buys me dinner? Then that's what.
That's all she wants right now. She's kind of upset and bitter. Relationships have not worked in her favor, so now she's just saying dick and dinner. You know, we go on a dinner and we have sex. That's all I need right now. I don't need a commitment. I don't need a relationship. I don't need any of that. That's it.
I see.
Now, in the eyes of some, that's viewed as prostitution.
You know. The thing is,
everybody wins in that situation, though.
In this day and age, though, because I just came across a vlog somebody had posted on Facebook where this brother was going on and on. He had, I guess, his 10 reasons why, if he takes you out on a date, why it's totally proper for him to expect sex at the end of the day. I think you posted that photo. That and I reposted it, and I was like, wow, is this what dating is like nowadays? I'm very glad to be married. Because that is like, I don't know.
What did it say?
It was basically like he added up the cost of things. Mm-hmm. And so by the time he is, you know, purchased gas with the cost of gas nowadays to pick you up, and take you to dinner, and take you to the movies, and buy things from the concession stand, and the gas is going to cost him to go back home. All of that, he should be getting a little nookie or something before the end of the night. That's how that particular brother felt. But I do know that we're dealing... and I think we're...
No. No.
It is expensive, though, because, I mean, when I just have, like, days with the girls and you get the bill, I'm like, wow. You know, it does cost.
I think we need to implement a new social rule.
Go for walks in the park.
Either whoever asks the other person out is responsible, or you just consider it as Dutch. Exactly. Just consider it as Dutch.
Wait a minute.
No.
If a woman asks you out, she would need to clarify specifically that I would expect at least she's paying or Dutch. No, she asks. She's like,
no, I say I want to see you, but that doesn't mean I want to pick up the tab.
She specifically asked me, do I want to go out on a date? Like, all right, we going out on a date. Then you need to tell me, like, you can't be like, okay, so I'm assuming you're paying for it. Like, you asked me out on a date. Are we going Dutch? Are you treating?
It depends on the woman.
You're right.
If the woman is securing herself, she doesn't care. But if she's
you're
like...
You're right, but don't expect me to. Like, don't give me the role of the man. Like, there are some roles I'm supposed to take on, and I'm going to do that. Just...
One of them is having sex.
Exactly.
That's a position.
Exactly.
It's all about expectations.
I have no problem doing that. You are the man of the house. I'm not going to try to wear the pants. And I don't have a problem. Hey, babe, I want to take you out tonight. You absolutely should do that for your man. I told Kim that, like, I admire the things that she does. I have no qualms about that. But I'm not going to front and say, on our first date, I got it, and we go Dutch. If I go Dutch 9 times out of 10, if that's the first date, I'm like, not interested. Because the men that I've seen and the men I've been around, from my fathers, my uncles, they stepped up to the plate and they did it, and they made me feel like I was worth it. I don't expect every man.
People kill the game with that stuff. You know, they just kill the game. My thing, this is a question.
What about your daughters?
Right.
What do you expect for them?
We'll get to that. This is my question to you all. How important is sex in a relationship?
Very.
Okay.
And we're all in agreement about that.
So we're still on the same topic of celibacy before marriage, do you think that a man should want to try it out?
Yes, I think everybody should try it out. Everybody should.
But we're talking about nobody wants to be stuck before marriage, though, right?
And
we are. But the question is, how many people are truly practicing celibacy before me? I mean, truly abstaining.
I mean, I was raised by a preacher who was raised by a preacher who was raised by a preacher. So yeah, you know, I mean, I was a preacher one time. So yeah, it wasn't until, you know, Santa Barbara is an interesting place. So.
But, you guys had a beach to walk on,
right? Exactly. But yeah, I was celibate all through high school, through a good portion of college too. You know, and it was something that really did set me apart. It was a conversation starter. I think some of my relationships were less successful because of that, with people that I actually liked. You know what I mean? I think we would have had different relationships if I wasn't so stuck on that celibacy. You know, but there was women that I was celibate with that it ended, and women that I wasn't with, I mean, that it also ended. So I don't think it really, it doesn't really go one way or the other. But looking at it, if I could go back, there are some opportunities that I probably wouldn't have passed on. Not at all.
Amen, amen.
Yeah, I can say the same thing. Bird and I were raised in the same religion. And I definitely know I told that line for a very, very long time. And I would make different decisions if I could go back.
What was your question? I'm just concerned about, and thank God my daughters aren't of that age yet, of what expectations I should have for my daughters. Is it realistic for me to expect them to be celibate? And if I do, yes, I do. But
you want them to be?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's not a black or white situation to me.
Because when I think of women and little girls, I want my little girls to grow up to be ladies. And see, and this is where it gets contradictory. And as humans, we live contradiction daily. Yeah. That's what we do, you know. And so it's an issue for me on the one hand because I have daughters, but then I'm practicing and I've practiced something different. And so, and that's where I run into a wall.
At what point, though, does having sex not equate to being a lady? Like, how does that work?
Well, having sex does not equate to not being a lady. But when you have sex multiple times with multiple people and you gain a reputation for doing that.
Okay.
And so my thing is that am I as a father, am I so overbearing with this is not something you should do? You should save yourself if that's the thing to do. And then as a child, they become rebellious and they say, my father's getting on my nerves.
And go to college and go buck nutty. Exactly.
Or do I just sit back and mention it and they assume that me mentioning it passively means that he's not concerned about it so much that they still go in like, fuck it, and they do the same thing.
I have a question for you.
What is actually wrong with them having a lot of sex?
Because they're my babies. They're my babies. That's the problem.
Because of what it entails.
It's just that simple.
It's about decision making. It's about decision making. That's like the whole controversy of, you know, making weed legal or not or whatever the case may be. Weed has medicinal properties. I've never smoked weed in my life to this day.
Oh, I'm gonna get you high tonight.
But listen. I never had the desire to, and it's like, I guess you find other vices or whatever, you know, tickles your fancy or float your boat. And anyway, but the thing is, it's how you use it. It's how you use it. If you overuse something and abuse it, then it becomes a negative thing. But if you use it in a proper way to where it can be positive or work out for you in a good way to where it doesn't, like you said, being promiscuous, you know, sleeping with different men and blase, blase, we associate that with very negative things. But
why?
Because
of the results. Right.
Here's
because of what it results to. It's a lot of negative things that it can result to, and you can go down.
No, it's
the list.
It's because it's bio. Okay, let's just the main one big reason is biologically, the woman is going to carry the seed. If you just think biologically, male and female sleep together, the woman gets impregnated and carries the seed. That is the first nature of having sex is to
procreate.
Right. If the man does it and 3 months later she's pregnant, guess what? That's not my, physically,
not your problem.
That's not my problem. I can do whatever the hell I want, live life, do everything the same way I've been doing it 3 months before. A woman cannot. If she is concerned about what she's carrying, she cannot live her life the same exact way. Mm-hmm. And as fathers who have daughters, or you have friends who are women, it's a concern because it's like if something happens, oops, guess what? The man can go. The man don't have to show up ever again.
And it's still his responsibility.
Not his. Yeah, right. The woman is stuck.
And
on that, so on that end, yeah. Yes, that
could
is
be a different conversation right. here because she's not necessarily stuck.
No, right.
Yeah, not
no,
nowadays. Right. No, but then something Tori has said is also a That's also a part of the biology of the whole thing. There are a few women who I know that can separate themselves from their sexual experiences. Mm-hmm. But I honestly believe the vast majority cannot. It's a chemical reaction that happens. So for a woman to have multiple sexual partners, it will either desensitize her to the whole thing, which will then make it easier for her to have multiple sexual partners, which is where this reputation comes into place. Or she will find herself so emotionally scarred that trying to get into a relationship with her is absolutely impossible.
And that's the conversation you have to have with your daughters about being sexually responsible. Because there's the, you know, we all know about the STDs. That's the hype. Right. You know, we all know that you can get pregnant. That's the hype. But there are other issues that come along with sex. That conversation with your daughter is, you may sleep with him and he may not call you back. Are you emotionally prepared for that? Because that's the truth. That could happen. And that's why I said I was able to separate celibacy from dating, because it didn't turn out to be about, I'm not getting this man. There are other issues you have to deal with. You know, he might not have valued sex. That night you fell in love. He did not. Those are the conversations you have to have with your daughter. So I think it has to be about sexual responsibility, because the idea of them. And I think when you put it to kids that way, because I've had this conversation with a friend's daughter. And I said, you might be in a situation. He's going to ask you to do something you might not be comfortable with. You were comfortable with missionary style. You lay there and he does it. But if he flips it on you and says, do this, are you comfortable enough to say no if you don't want to? Those are the conversations you have to have with your daughters when it comes to preaching celibacy to your kids. Because ideally we can say that, but then we send them out into the world with other people. And the other people are going to tell them things. That's the conversation piece people aren't having with their kids. You know, he might ask you for a blowjob. Are you ready to do that? Are you comfortable enough to say, no, I'm not going to do that? And what if he doesn't call you back if you do it? What if he tells somebody that you did that?
Or doesn't call you if you don't do it.
Right.
Or if he does. Right, exactly. Those are the conversations. That's where women get caught up. See, those are the lessons. Those are the conversations my mom didn't have with me. I got the don't have sex.
You just blew my mind.
Don't have sex.
Never having to think about a woman's perspective when it comes to sex. I'm married, and so that's what
celibacy was for me. It wasn't about getting the date.
That's why I am with my daughters. It's like I've never thought about it, I didn't think about it until it's like.
So well, I'm glad to enlighten you.
And I was thinking, being the mother of a little boy, knowing what my experience was. Growing up in a household where I was taught just don't do it, and actually practicing that and having situations not work out for me in relationships because the guy I was, you know, interested in or dating was, you know, swayed away by somebody who was more sexually active. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you deal with that sort of emotional robbery, so to speak? You know what I'm saying? It happens abruptly. You feel like you're doing the right thing because mama told you this is what you're supposed to do and daddy said this is the right thing to do, but it didn't get you what you wanted. Mm-hmm. I know with my son, I want him, because I'm already aware as a young man, he's going to come into sexual interest probably earlier than I'll be ready for him to be at that point. But I want him to be just as selective in choosing partners as if I had a daughter. I don't want him to think that he should just sleep with everybody who's willing and available. In fact, I honestly want him to avoid those women who are just always, who's just ready from day one. Like, be wary of the ones who are too easy and too available, because something about that is not right. A woman should covet her sex in some way. Because that means something, you know, that shows a lot about how she cares for herself, the level of respect that she has for herself. And like, I don't want him to be browbeaten over the situation. Like, it should be he should understand that there's a level of mutual interest happening there. But I don't want him to just, you know, if she's just ready and maybe he's not, you know what I'm saying? Maybe he's interested, but he's not. I don't want him to.
But what about getting
married? I don't want him to get caught up with no hoe. Let me just
what
say
about,
that.
What about getting married fast?
Get married fast?
Mm-hmm.
We'd have a long
put that on the same level.
Yeah, because we would have to have a long conversation about that as well, too. Because that, you know, he'll know from both me and his father, rushing into marriage is something he absolutely should not do. It's so much you need to think about before you make that level of commitment.
Would you sprinkle salt on the game if you felt he was doing that? Like, tell him, like, this is not happening. You are not going to marry this woman.
My fear would be that he would try to go behind my back and do it anyway, just being defiant. I feel like I want to always have an open line of communication with Eli and just be clear. Like, mama's not trying to hate.
Put him on blast like that? No, I'm just kidding.
reason why I'm asking, because I've had a child with a woman, you know, and it ended up being a failed relationship. And I think had one of my parents stepped in and told me not that, not just that, but like, this is not the one for you, you know, instead of sitting back and let me learn my learn a lesson on my own, maybe I would have taken heed.
Yeah, I think, know? I would say something. I wouldn't be like just blatantly like, hell no, I don't,
because
like
of course
her.
After the fact, my father's got all the commentary, you know. And it's like,
I think it depends on where you are in life, because when you're younger, it's like you know less and you're able to read less about another person.
True.
But when two people come to the point where they're in tune with one another and they come together and build on something, it's like you don't have all those same what ifs and should I or shouldn't I, and it's because you know. It's like you, it's something that you just know sometimes, where because you know yourself and you can see that they are on that same page and you guys are in agreement, then it's like you don't have to put all that worry in your mind. But a lot of times, 9 times out of 10, you don't get that. So it's like you have to make like a checklist and like, well, is this, this, and this there? Is that, that, and that there? But a lot of times we're looking at the wrong things.
I think you should have a checklist, though, to be honest with you. Oh, absolutely.
In terms of what you want in a relationship?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think men and women should.
You should definitely have some non-negotiables.
But is the checklist...
I don't think if it feels
internal
right
or external,
both parties,
you know?
No, I think you should have a literal checklist. You should...
And I'm sorry, cousin. Go ahead. I want to cut
you off. And you should have some sort of foresight, be it yours or that of someone else's, to see, you know, if this person does this now, what does that mean that they'll be doing in the future?
Yeah. At this point, after being married this long, I honestly feel like people have to use a bit of, not even a bit, a lot of logic in terms of choosing a partner. You can't always go off of everything that you feel, because that doesn't necessarily lead you down the right path. I mean, you have to have an affinity for a person, of course. You have to have an attraction to a person, of course, but you have to have some level of logic. I think a lot of people think that in order for something to work out, I think people really believe that there is a perfect somebody out there for them and that it's going to be an easy situation. Like, we're going to have the sort of synergy where it's just simple and we just flow and there's no work. It just is what it is. And good luck to you finding that. Like, if you have that situation with somebody, I've never seen that happen.
Then maybe marriage is kind of just, maybe it's not what we all thought it would be. Maybe it's not even necessary.
It's not.
It's a social
construct. No, I'm not going to say it's not necessary, but it's not what I think people believe it to be until they get in it. I think people have one idea of what it is, and then when you get in it, you realize it's something different.
It's just one of them experiences where you don't know until you experienced it. You're not going to know the full thing. You're not going to, like, what's it like going to jail? I don't know. I can see. I'm not trying to find out. That's, you know, I can't really tell you.
Yeah, but you can hear, I mean, it's, you can hear stories.
Well, yeah, I guess it is. It is. It can be analogous for some.
But in the
marriage
sense that,
can be like
a, well, in the sense
some,
that nobody,
so
even
so.
Married, I can tell somebody who's not married what's it like, what it's like, but they don't know. You don't know until you experienced it.
Yeah, and even still, telling somebody, it doesn't mean that their marriage is going to look yours, going to look anything like yours. You know what I mean? So it's.
But I think there are some basics that can be told, because you and I have talked and you say some things about marriage, and that's where the communication falls. Like, some people, you can't say sometimes that marriage is boring or it's not always exciting, because as a single woman looking in, you're like, I'm gonna have a man, he's gonna protect me, he's gonna do this, he's gonna do that. And not many women, I mean, you do, but there aren't many married women that are like, it's not like that all the time, or some days it's like this, or some days. So that we were sold the idea of marriage, man and woman living happily ever after.
Stability.
Right.
But those underlying conversations, like, guess what? Sometimes you might not be sexually attracted to the person, and it doesn't immediately mean divorce. Guess what? There could be some silence in your relationship, and it's okay to say that. That doesn't mean we don't love each other anymore. That doesn't mean it's a wrap. But sometimes it is, but it doesn't. You got to be comfortable enough to know that sometimes there's going to be silence in a marriage, because the idea is that once you get married, you're not going to have no more problems. Y'all going to always love each other. Y'all going to always want to hump each other. Y'all going to always be in each other's face. And I look
so
at my mom
be.
And my dad.
And you're right. That is the way it should be. And I think we need to tell people that before they get into marriages.
Right.
Because
right.
we get into these damn funks You know, and we think that that's acceptable, and it's not acceptable. Right.
Thank you.
In
Thank
any
you.
Way, shape, or Thank form. You. It's Thank not you. Acceptable not to be talking. It's not acceptable to have to get into these fights and be angry. It's not acceptable.
It's not acceptable, but it happens.
But it's not acceptable.
So, but it happens. Yeah,
but if you have a fight, you have to come at some point come to a conclusion that you both can agree upon.
Exactly. But I'm saying people need to say that they're going to be fights. People have to say they're going to be fights.
It's about respect.
And you have to understand the fact that you've made a commitment. So right. even if you're at a point where you and your spouse, a significant other, are not on the same page, that's not reason to throw in the towel. If you right. said to this person, where you know, if you're married to that person, that's not an option.
Just my respect mom the and, point that they're trying to
right.
make.
Right. Until you get to a point this. Where you guys are at an impasse and it's something major that you cannot get over and it affects every single piece of the relationship and both parties are unhappy. Even yeah, if
that's it, right.
Then that's when it can't work. But if it's anything that can be worked out or compromised on, because that's part of a relationship, there will be sacrifices, there will be compromise. As right. long as you can make those things happen, then yeah. the last option is to say, we're not doing this anymore.
Right, because I can look at my parents, and my mom knows my dad. She knows that just because he's not talking to me today doesn't mean this is a wrap. Today, he's a man. He needs some quiet time, and that's my space to step back. If my mom wasn't saying this and I didn't see it, I would probably be the first to run from a divorce because I think him being silent and going upstairs into his office and not talking to us means it's all a wrap. It means it's personal. There's something wrong with me and the relationship. My mom doesn't keep that a secret, you know?
Well, just because she doesn't keep it a secret, I don't think it's right. I still don't think it's right. I agree with this brother here. My grandparents were married close to 60 years, and they would fuss and fight, but my grandmother would go in the kitchen and cook my grandfather's dinner and put it on the table, and he would say, thank you, honey.
And my mom does the same thing. He would go pick her up, yeah.
and there was none of the non-talking business. And,
but not like a silent treatment. I'm saying that.
You know. Who is doing that, though? Yeah. Like, who are married people that are not... Okay, straight up. If you do not communicate with your partner.
We're in this world, Kim. I mean, I
feel you.
That,
I feel you. Yeah, but I'm saying...
Yeah, when I'm talking about silence... Right, that's what right. I'm talking about. Silence. I'm not talking about. I give you the cold shoulder and we don't talk. I'm saying.
Is it a moment or is it?
Yeah,
like,
it's a moment.
You got to take time to regroup, yeah. rethink the whole situation, right. look it over, roll it in your head a little
exactly,
bit,
exactly. But
then come back together,
exactly.
and with a clear head and talk it out.
That's what I'm saying. Those kind of conversations have to take place because ideally, as a single woman going into a marriage, you don't know that unless somebody's telling you that. You think happily ever after, I got my boo, we're going to always be laughing every day, entertained until people start talking.
But I don't think we need to be putting those, I don't know, it's weird. Like, right, look, full disclosure, like my wife and I, we kind of got in that argument today.
Right.
And it's I not haven't called her, she hasn't called me. She went over to her, well, she was going over there anyway. It's not like she left or anything, but, you know, it's like,
you're not right cool
now,
with it.
I'm not cool with her that. Right now. Yeah.
Right.
So that's where all this anger is coming from.
It's not a good thing. it's not.
It's what? It's
okay. Knew I was sensing something.
It's not okay with it.
But I'm pissed.
Right. But right. since you're going to be pissed, but you know at some point,
but every day
y'all
you
will come
are...
back and be like, all right, what the fuck?
Because
what
you
happened?
Say it's unacceptable. Let's, that's how you know you're going to mend it.
Why did we get here and where?
And that's a part of marriage.
Yeah. I mean, when has anybody in life, every fucking day of your life has been great? Now it hasn't. Now
you know what I think.
Right. But then but then the thing is,
there's nothing in it for us.
No, but the thing is, like,
you're wearing the pros and the cons.
No.
Because we
want to
be. We
put
some bullshit out there in the fucking world.
I agree.
Okay, let me. All right, let me ask.
You're human.
I'm married because when I come home, I want to be.
Okay, let me ask you. But here's this. But here's the catch.
But that's when life.
You think about it. As all of us as individuals have never had that moment ever. Like where every single day of our life is great. Now you bring in two people together. If life for yourself is never great every day,
exactly.
Why the fuck do you think? Well, now that I'm with her, every day of my life is gonna be great. What if you have
because
a shitty day at work,
better.
And she's like, and she wants to bring that same, hey, how's your day? And you're like, you know what? I don't want to talk about it at all to anybody. Let me chill. And you like, well, this ain't how it is normally. I got a problem, and fuck you, I'm out. You should be like,
love.
Then you like,
all.
Wait a minute, something's wrong. Let's try to fix it before I say, all right. Because if everything that somebody does immediately pisses you off and you leave, do not get married. Why? Don't commit because you clearly do not. If you want to commit to something that, all right, people I've heard in raps, anything that you really, that you, like, all your, like, put it aside, your dream, no, but, like, thinking about your dream, stuff that you want in life, your dreams and stuff that you want to happen, when is all that, your dream, every, that whole road been great? It's been rocky, but at the end, when you go through all that shit, and, no, but you want it. Sometimes you might be, there are things you want to do in life, and you're like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. This is not, I thought it was for me, it's not for me, and I'm out. And that's fine. But if it's something that you believe in and y'all like, you know, I'm working, you working, let's try to work this out. Sometimes it doesn't work out.
Yeah. I mean,
but you have to just understand that, look, I'm trying. Are you trying? We want to make this happen. Okay, let's try. But if I want to try, well, I don't want to try. Okay, well, I guess, well, I guess we need to have a discussion about where this is going right now.
And you have to talk. Like, if we're being totally honest, Chris and I were in a tense moment yesterday that slid into this morning, but we spent a good amount of time just talking about it, just talking through it, talking about what happened that started the tense moment, why I was feeling one way, why he was feeling another, why certain decisions were made. And we were in a tense moment for probably about 48 hours. And when you compile all of that with both of us having a stressful work weekend and a three-year-old, I mean, you know, there's the potential there for us not to talk at all. Just like, fuck it, you go to your side of the room, I go to my side of the room. You take that computer, I take this one. We don't have to see each other, talk to each other at all. But we know that we're working toward a greater goal, and that, for us, we can't live under the same roof with that kind of situation. It's just uncomfortable. And our child senses that. He's very aware, acutely aware of that. Because if he's looking for one of us, he's looking for the other one. So if we're for some reason separated, he doesn't get it and it confuses him. And so we're like, you know what? And for us, it's just it's uncomfortable being in the same bed with somebody and there's tension there. It's like,
it's work to ignore somebody.
Right. It is. So
it's like, we gotta, that you care about.
Right. It's like, right. We gotta talk this out. But that's marriage.
Right. And I think it's unrealistic because then you go in with these super high expectations. Like, once, if I'm married to you, I don't expect candy and flowers every day and a date every night and same wine dude. And dine.
The way you guys are explaining it, who would get married?
Who would get...
The way I'm hearing it...
Because here's the reason why. Because with dating...
What were your examples, John? what led the you reason, down that path?
The reason, I mean, you would get you married is because in marriage, I can argue with you and still want to put dinner on the table for you. If all I am is dating you and we're arguing, I have nothing to lose but to shake and go date the next person. So with marriage, I can comfortably say I can be mad with you, but no, at the end of the day, you still love me. We're going to go to bed tonight. Maybe we'll get down, but we will. It's not the deal breaker. In dating, why bother? And why put in the effort to solve this argument or resolve it or make
it? It's like a business. It's like a business. Two partners can own a business together. They might not agree on every little thing, but they have the agreement that it's our business. We're doing things for the sake of the business.
What's the end goal?
It's the end goal. We both want the same thing. If as long as you both want the same thing, you might go about it a little bit different than the next person, but you have to come to some type of agreement somewhere down the road that benefits both of you.
Yeah, and then, you know, if you compare the amount of days that you have that are tense to those days where you come home and you are happy. The day at work has been shitty. And when you come in the door and see your spouse and your child and all of that just melts away because you're just happy to be at home. Mm-hmm. Like, compare how many days you have that in comparison to those bad days. Because I can tell you there are some days I can't wait to get here and hear my child's laughter and kiss my husband and just be in the house at home. It lets me know that, you know what, everything that I just went through doesn't even matter. That's such a small part of my overall life. This is my life.
Because Kim still puts on lip gloss and perfume when leaving work. I asked her, I was like, where are you going? She was like, home.
But I mean, right.
That's,
I mean,
why you get married.
Right, but it also,
I'm not going to do that for somebody I'm just dating.
But it depends. It depends how you were brought up. I mean, for me, so both, right. It depends on how you, it depends on what you were brought up with in your family. Like, for me, both of my grandparents hit 50 plus. If my father lived, they would have hit 50 plus. So that's what I saw. I knew that there was black love that could last besides all the bullshit that we see all the time that it can't, it will. And that's what I wanted. And I knew I wanted to have children. I was not going to have a child with a woman I was not married with. Cause I was not, amen. You are not going to refer me as a baby daddy. I'm like, that's not a term that is positive to me. I'm like, oh, so I'm just some guy who seated you up. I'm like, I'm the father of your, you know, of this child that we had together. And that's what I wanted. I knew I didn't want to spend my whole life by myself. I have days where my day was just ass, and I come home and I'm like, who's here? Nobody? My pet? Okay, I just want some comfort.
Single is not that bad. Right.
No, but I mean,
just go ahead and kiss her. You know you want to kiss her. Just kiss her.
But I mean, shit. Right. And I mean, there's some things I miss about being single. But I knew in my heart I wanted to, like, what? Like the fact that if I see somebody attractive, I cannot automatically do before getting with my wife at 21, that whole, like, my immediate, hey, what's up?
You weigh the pros and cons.
You can't holler.
I don't want to lose.
I can't holler. But the fact is, I don't miss from the hollering point, and I, you know, hey, let's get to know you. From that point
to,
like,
you take me to dinner. Huh?
Right. All the way up. You know, all that.
See, when you married, you don't have to do that.
You know,
sometimes.
Yes, you do.
Sometimes you do.
Together so that everybody's happy. But redefine marriage.
I mean, but you're asking for something that's not possible.
But wait,
you're asking for something for everybody is happy. When is I'm not happy all the time. When is everybody happy?
But that's just it, though. Nobody's definition of marriage, I don't think, looks the same. I think the commitment is designed. And mind you, now we are on a totally different topic, listeners. But, like, this has nothing to do with what we originally started. Look, I'll say this and wrap it up. The commitment is between the couple. Now I'm going to use this one couple I know as an example, and for some of y'all this is going to be absolutely hell no, I would not do that, I'm going to flip out. I know a couple whose name I will not say, who technically are swingers. Black couple, been married 20 plus years, got 4 kids, all of them in high school, all of them smart, everything's cool. Now, they don't just, you know, swing, but if they go out, if they're having their time together and they go out and the wife sees somebody that she's attracted to, or the husband sees somebody that he's attracted to, and it's, I don't think the husband is definitely not bisexual or gay. So they're always swinging with another woman. I guess that's not swinging. They just like to have other people in their bedroom antics sometime. But
so
this,
the wife is bisexual, but the husband's not. That's what it sounds like.
Okay, so that's the situation. But they don't, that's their agreement.
That's selective swinging.
But, okay, that's... And
just because a woman is involved does not mean that she's bisexual. They don't always have to touch each other. I'm just throwing that out there.
If she's looking at the woman I like her, you know, then
that's
she
not
is
what
bisexual.
But
my whole point is... Like, I met
it's
this couple.
That way.
Yeah, I met this couple when I was young, and I knew for myself that would not be my choice of lifestyle. But they are happily married. They have stayed married. They have raised their family. Nobody, from what I can see, is, you know, crazy or malfunctioning. And that's their agreement. It's nobody's business to say if what they're doing is right or wrong, if that's what that couple has agreed upon. Now, I'm using them as an example because that is an extreme. that's an extreme. But you know what? If that is something that has kept that couple together, far be it for me to be the one to tell them what you're doing is wrong when there's other people who can't hold that level of commitment together and they've done it for 20 plus years.
Well, the shit
that's
just
their
hasn't
business.
Hit the fan yet. That's
20 years. Yeah. 20 years.
There's two things,
there's
two things that I want to bring up in regards to that.
What is?
From what I know,
it's what works for them. They're the unit, and it's happened. They've been doing this for 20 years.
From what I know of swinging couples, they have a level of communication that's out of this world. They talk to each other, and they have a mutual respect. That's the only way it works. And from my experience, from what I see,
people I that have, everybody know about swinging couples. I don't know about no damn swinging.
I mean, you know, you better start asking people questions. All people swinging,
you know, me and you.
It's just knowing.
From what I know about swinging couples.
No, it's just what you're exposed to. It's like right. it's certain circles. You know, it's like you might not necessarily partake, but you're like the, you know, the guy that's accepted. You know what I mean? It's like it's like in anything else. You don't have to necessarily partake, but you can know of it. But as far as that, like I said, they have a high level of communication. But the relationships that don't work, marriage or whatnot, whatever it is, it's always a point where they stop communicating.
Yes.
And then, or it's a point of where it's all about one person versus the unit.
Mm-hmm.
And it always fails. Nine times, it always fails.
Yeah. No matter what the circumstances are, if you are not talking, your relationship is going to crumble, period.
Right. I agree.
Right. Or if you hold.
Well, what's the point of getting married then if you guys are going to swing? Like, do you know?
It's just a commitment to each other.
So the people who are married, why did you get married? I'm just curious.
I think because they found somebody who shared the same sort of sexual appetite that they did. Yeah. And chances of you finding somebody who's like, yeah, I'm down for that is slim to none. So when, because they got together. I almost said their names. I think they got together at the end of high school and stayed together. I haven't talked to them in years.
That's like choosing your friends. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You have a commonality with your friends. So even though things might not always work out with your friends, you always come to that common point where y'all can squash things, talk about it. But it only comes out if you're able to talk to them, because no relationship is 100% perfect. You're going to have hiccups and obstacles and things in the way. But if you can always come back to that common point that you have with one another, then you can get past all the other BS.
Yeah.
You know? And it's probably easier for that, because I would find it very difficult for a man to say, I can sit and watch another man take my wife down. Like,
that takes... not just some girl I'm seeing, but my wife.
And she likes it.
That's all. That's
how it is in my regards. Like in my face, that's my husband. This is my marriage. This is ours. And I get that works
for
them.
Thing, huh?
That's mine, right?
But it's something that he or she is giving that partner that they're not giving. That's the only thing I can see from it. It's something that he or she is getting that they're not giving, that they know they still number one, or that they're the priority. Yeah, that they're still the unit. You know,
because if you think about it, if a couple is that open sexually, you can only imagine what they're doing when it's just the two of them. But I guess there's moments where they're
gonna do more of this so that number three don't have to be.
That's part of their relationship. The sex is sacred. Like, other parts.
One stop shop. Right. Right up in here.
Anyway. People, we have given you almost an hour of a variety of conversation right here about sex, relationships, marriage, and celibacy and everything else under that umbrella. We thank you so much for joining us for this Black Is Break. We love y'all.